Praise the Lord. Our God is good. Our God is good. And all the time. Amen. We serve a good God. Amen. We serve a God who is love. When we listen to the testimony that Linda just shared with us, we can see the goodness of God. We can see, you know, the love of God. And, you know, I had someone say, it doesn't matter who hates you. What matters is the love of God. It doesn't matter who is with you. If God is with you, you are the majority. When you have the love of God, you have everything that you need. Because the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? That doesn't mean that people will not be against us, but it just means that because God is with us, we are able to stand those that are against us. Because God is with us, he's going to help us, you know, in everything that we need, every step down the way, in order to overcome the obstacles, the challenges, and all the, you know, the hurdles that life brings. Because the truth is, life brings challenges and hurdles. And Jesus even said it, that in this world you will have challenges. But he said, be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. And he promised, he said to us that I will be with you until the end of the world. So he is with us. That's one thing that we can be assured of, that he is with us. Sometimes it might seem as if he's not there, but the fact that he's quiet doesn't mean that he's there. He is there. And we can trust him that in our loneliness, because there are times where we'll feel lonely. There are times that we'll feel like, you know, overwhelmed, you know, by what we're going through. But he is there. He is there. And we can, you know, just rely on him. And the Bible says that we can rest on the finished work of Christ. Just rest on them and know, you know what? Lord, I just give them to you. And I trust you to take control. Amen. So we've been looking at the Holy Spirit. And let's pray. Father, we bless your name this morning, oh God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've been in charge. We can see you having your way in this place, Holy Spirit, and that's just what we want. You taking control, not us. And as we carry on, Lord, this is time for your word, Father. We just thank you that you're going to give us what we need this morning. And Lord, we pray that we will be hearers, and not just hearers, but also doers of your word. Give us that spirit of understanding, Father, this morning, to understand your word, Father. Speak to each and every one of us individually, oh God. And Holy Spirit, thank you that you glorify Jesus in this place. Oh God, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. We started speaking on the Holy Spirit. And last week, Jim was talking. He preached on the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And it was really, honestly, I was really blessed. I was blessed. And, you know, each time we talk about the Holy Spirit, and to me, I think it is the most important person. He is the most important person on earth right now. Now, you might think of maybe higher personalities that you might know, but the truth is, the Holy Spirit is the most important person on earth. And us knowing him is, you know, in our own advantage to know him, that to know that most important person, you know, that has the impact, that has the capacity to help us, you know, in our work with God, to take us where God wants us to be. Amen. And Jim said, he was talking about the Holy Spirit being involved in the Old Testament. And that's it. He's been involved from the beginning and up to now. He's involved. He's been involved till the end. So he spoke about, you know, the Holy Spirit being involved at the creation, you know, when God created the world and everything. And he also mentioned the fact that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came, but the Holy Spirit came on special people, you know, on special occasion. People were assigned to do a particular job for God, and the Holy Spirit would come in them and give them, enable them, empower them to be able to do that work for God. And as soon as they've done it, the Holy Spirit will leave them, You know, you can take, he gave example of Samson, example of Gideon, and you have many other people in the Bible, in the Old Testament, like that, David. And it was so crucial for the Holy Spirit to come on them, because otherwise they wouldn't be able to do what the task that God assigned them to do. And you know what? It is the same to us as well. We need the Holy Spirit to be able to do the things that God has called us to do. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to do it. Because I will tell you the truth. There are things that God will ask us to do when you think, oh my God, I can't do this. You know, in your own ability, you know you can't. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, he empowers you. And you are surprised, you know, at the outcome of things that you are able to do. And you know, for sure, this is not me. This is the Holy Spirit doing it through me. So in the New Testament, they talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, if you go through the book of Acts, it's all about the works of the Holy Spirit. The way the Holy Spirit moved through the church and did mighty things through men like you and myself. Now, when you look at Jesus himself, in the Bible, when Jesus came on earth, Jesus did not come at God as God. Jesus did not operate on earth as God. He operated as a man like you and myself. And that is the reason why Jesus himself needed the Holy Spirit to be able to fulfill his destiny. Now, if Jesus, who was the Son of God, who came on earth, needed the Holy Spirit in order to fulfill his destiny, how much more of you and myself? Amen? Because Jesus is just the will of God for us. So when Jesus came, everything that Jesus did, God was just pointing to us his will. You know, the thing that Jesus did, the thing that Jesus achieved, the way that he lives his life was just the will of God for us. Just showing us the way that we also need to carry out our lives on earth. So Jesus needed the Holy Spirit in order to fulfill his destiny. Now, in the Old Testament, one of the passages that speaks about, you know, the coming of the Holy Spirit in the church was Joel chapter 2. We'll read as from verse 28. I forgot my glasses, so Lord, help me to see clearly. Okay. It says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see vision. And also on my servants, my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And that was Prophet Joel, who was prophesying, you know, prophesying the coming of the Holy Spirit, how God was going to pour his spirit upon all flesh, upon you, upon myself. He poured his spirit, you know, when we read Acts of Apostles, that was the church. But he's still doing it today, pouring his spirit upon you, upon the church, upon everyone that call on the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now, in the book of John chapter 7, verse 37 and 39, Jesus himself spoke about the Holy Spirit. And that was the first time that Jesus mentioned about the Holy Spirit to the people. It says that, you know, in the last day of the feast, Jesus stood out and he cried in a loud voice. He said, he that is thirsty, let him come and drink. You know, he said, he that is thirsty, let him come and drink. And that was a condition. Are you thirsty? Let him come and drink. And he said, after drinking, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So when you are thirsty, you know what? You drink. But after drinking, rivers of living water flow out of your belly. And Jesus, he said that Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit, that those who believe in him were going to receive. Then he had not yet been glorified. So he had not died yet. So he was mentioning to the people that, you know what, after when I die, after when I'm glorified, after when I resurrect from the dead, this is what is going to happen. So those who are thirsty, They will come. Let them come. Let them drink. And after drinking, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. It means what? When we drink, when we take of the Holy Spirit, when we receive him, you know, out of our belly flow rivers of living water. The things that the Holy Spirit will do through us is going to be great. It's going to be mighty. It's going to be powerful. You know, when you drink of the water, people can see it. But when it flows out of you like a river, everybody sees it. Everybody sees it. So which means that when you are thirsty, when you are drinking, you are doing it in the secret place. You are doing it where nobody can see you. But when it starts flowing, when the river starts flowing, everybody can see it. Everybody can see the powers of God manifested. Everybody can see the action, the things that God is doing through you. They tell. And you know what? They tell that you've been drinking. When you see someone who has been spending time in the presence of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of God has been moving in their life, where they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, nobody needs to tell you. You can see it through them. You can see the power of God. You can see the things that the Lord is doing through them. Because you know what the Bible says, that through their fruits you shall know them. You shall know them through our fruit, through the things that the Holy Spirit brings, you know, out of us. You can tell. That person has been with God. The Holy Spirit has been moving in the life of this person. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know, Jesus knew that his disciple needed the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew that without the Holy Spirit, they could not fulfill their destiny. And that's why even when Jesus was telling them that in the book of John chapter 16 verse 7, you know, he spoke to them. He was telling them about him leaving, you know, preparing them. And they were sad. Why? They've spent 3 years and a half with Jesus, you know, and Jesus all of a sudden is telling them that he's going to leave. I mean, honestly, you will be sad. We've spent time here together. If one of our brethren say, you know what, I'm leaving maybe because I'm moving to another city, or we're going to be sad because we're not going to have that fellowship again. So these are people, they've spent time with Jesus, and Jesus is saying, I am leaving, I am going. And they were sad, but Jesus mentioned something. He said, it is in your own advantage that I should go. Can you imagine that? It is in your own advantage that I should go. Because if I don't, the Holy Spirit is not going to come. But if I leave, I will send you another comforter. So Jesus is trying to tell them, I am with you. Yes, you like it. But then, right now, the person that you need is the Holy Spirit. It's not me. I've been with you. I've taught you the things that I need to teach you. But you need someone else who is going to carry forth from here. And that's not me. You need the Holy Spirit. And Jesus needed to go. Why? Because the fullness of the Holy Spirit dwelled in him while he was on earth. So there wasn't any way for the Holy Spirit to move in someone else. He couldn't share. So he needed to go. And he said, it is in your own advantage. And he said, if when I go, I will send you another comforter. You know, when he says another comforter, you can't send another something when there wasn't something similar. So he said, I will send another comforter, which means someone just like me. Someone just like me. And he go forth to say, he will teach you. He will guide you. He will help you. You know, which is very important. When you read in the Amplified Bible, when it talks about, I will send another comforter. It lists, like, you know, the Holy Spirit, which is a comforter, counselor, you know, standby, intercessor. All of those things that the Holy Spirit does, you know, in the life of the believer, who he represents in our life, our counselor, our standby. You know, when you say standby, like, I just give example of a standby generator. You know, when you can't do it again, you think like, okay, I can't. You know what? The Holy Spirit takes over. When you have a generator, like, here, you're not used to generators, but when you come from a country like mine, or mostly people from Nigeria, they know that you have power cut all the time. So for those who have a generator, as soon as, you know, the light goes off, the generator, you know, starts and, you know, brings the light. So that's what the Holy Spirit, when he says it's standby, it means when you get to that place where you think, you know, I can't take it, I can't stand anymore, the Holy Spirit, you know, just, you know, takes over. And you are surprised how you carry on. Hallelujah. But if you don't know it, you'll be struggling on your own. That's why we need to know him. We need to know who he is. We need to know his character. We need to know his personality. We need to know his attribute. We need to know his ministry in our life in order to activate it. You cannot, if you don't know that he is the teacher, the one who is sent to teach you, you know what? You struggle. You read it, you can't make sense of the scriptures, and you don't know that he's there to teach you. But when you know that, you, Holy Spirit, you are my teacher. I just ask you right now, give me understanding of the scriptures. And while you read it, you know what? He opens your understanding, and you begin to see revelation in the word, things that, you know, you wouldn't on your own, you'll be struggling, but he gives you that understanding. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus told his disciple, it is important that I go. You know, if I go, then I will send another comforter, someone just like me, someone who is going to be alongside you in order to help you in this journey. Because you know what? We need the Holy Spirit. As I said it earlier on, life can be challenging, you know, sometimes. But when you have the Holy Spirit with you, that person that has been sent alongside to help you, you know, he helps you to navigate through life. Hallelujah. Even when the pain is there, he gives you the peace that you need in the midst of the storm. Amen. Amen. As I said, the fullness of the Holy Spirit was in Jesus. And that was the reason why, until Jesus died, the disciple could not receive, you know, the Holy Spirit. Now, when Jesus died and Jesus rose from the dead, you know, Jesus spent some time with the disciples. And what he did, he breathed on them in John chapter 20, verse 22. You know, he says that Jesus breathed on the disciple and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And do you know why? Because until then, the disciples were not born again. The disciples were not born again. So when Jesus breathed on them, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. You know what happened? They became born again Christians. So which means there are three dimensions of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit with us, which is the presence of God. Right now, we have the Holy Spirit here. We have the Holy Spirit moving here, which is the presence of God. He is there. He is with us. Now you have the Holy Spirit in us, which when the Holy Spirit is the one who bring conviction to us, even to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He comes and he resides in us. Now the other dimension, which is the power of God, is the Holy Spirit upon us. Amen. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, then the Holy Spirit comes now to empower us. Hallelujah. So we have all the children of God that we can come across, we all have the Holy Spirit residing in us. Amen. Let's read Acts chapter 1, as from verse 5. I will just read as from verse 4. It says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, that was Jesus, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, from John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and the end of the earth. You know, before Jesus ascended to heaven, Jesus told them, he said, tarry in Jerusalem. He said, wait. Why did he say wait? Wait, don't do anything yet. You've not yet been, you need to be endued with power from on high in order to do the things that I want you to do. So I remember Jim always say, we need to stay in that place where we wait. You know, we wait upon the Lord. We wait upon him to fill us. We wait upon him to empower us before we jump out to do the things that we want to do for him or that he has assigned us to do. Why? Because if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, if we're not empowered with the Holy Spirit, what happens is that we will struggle. We will try to do those things, even in the best of our ability, but we're not going to succeed. So the Lord said to them, he said, wait, tarry in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Wait until you feel, until the Holy Spirit comes, you know, upon you. And the Bible says there were like 500 of them. But do you know how many people actually received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? 120. Where were the others? They could not wait. They could not wait. So that is the thing. Even now, how many of us, you know, really stay in that place of waiting, in that place of fellowship with the Lord, in that place where we want the Lord to empower us, you know, to stay there and wait so that we can receive, you know, everything that we need. That when we step out, people can see Jesus through us. Jesus said, wait. Wait. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, when you talk about power, power is the Greek word for dunamis. And dunamis, in English, you translate it as dynamite. Dynamite. So imagine what the dynamite does. They want to destroy a rock. They can take a whole, you know, I don't know, the whole of... All of us here to try and do it, we will struggle to do it. But once you just put the dynamite, what happened is that you just scattered the rock. So imagine the kind of power that Jesus said, you shall receive power. And I always say power, dynamic ability to provoke changes. You shall receive that ability to provoke changes around you, to provoke changes in your community, to provoke changes in the life of your family, to provoke changes in your church, to provoke changes around you. He said, you shall receive power. You shall receive power. And we can see, you know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, he said, when the day of Pentecost has fully come. You know, one thing about God, he says his word, like we just read in Joel chapter 2. That was in the Old Testament. I mean, that was a long time before now. But God's word will always come to pass. Numbers says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither is son of man that he repents. What he says, he does it. Imagine Joel saying that, you know, this is what the Lord is going to do. In the last day, I will pour my spirit. And I know people, probably people who were there in the days were thinking, when is those last days? You know, they probably waited and waited, nothing happened. But when God says his word, he fulfills it. And the one thing is that God is the only one who knows the timing. He will say in the last days, and we might be thinking in the last days, is, you know, that close, that soon. He's the only one who knows the timing. But the truth is that his words will always come to pass. And he says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, like they were not expecting. You know, you're sitting in your house. You're not expecting someone. You just say, suddenly. That's what happened. Suddenly, it says the Holy Spirit came on them. Hallelujah. I'm sure that was glorious. They were probably very excited because they've been waiting. And the Lord said, wait, and they've been waiting. And suddenly, you know what? What they were expecting happened. And you know, the Holy Spirit came on them. They were praying in tongues and shouting. You say Pentecostal are loud. I will tell you the truth. When you read Acts of Apostles, I haven't seen anywhere where they are quiet. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, there are times you can't even control yourself. You know, you just like somebody who is quiet, you just see them running up and down, you're thinking, oh, what's happening? You know, shouting and singing in tongues and doing crazy things. And you think, oh. Because the Bible says that they were praying. People who were around heard them. So if there was just like mumbling, nobody would have heard them. But the Bible says that they prayed. They were speaking in other tongues and people heard them. And what happened is that it attracted the people. You know, when the Holy Spirit is moving in our life, let me tell you the truth. It will attract people. It will attract people. Why? Because we are different. We are different. They will see things in us that they will not see in other people. Because the Holy Spirit makes that different. The Bible says that people came. And they came like, what is happening over there? Because they heard them speaking in their languages. That is what God does. Because that is a mystery in itself. That I start speaking Chinese. You know, I've never learned Chinese, and I start speaking Chinese. You must know that that is God. When you know I can't speak Chinese, and all of a sudden I am giving a message in Chinese, you know, that is supernatural. That is supernatural. So the people saw that, and they knew this is supernatural, because this can be these people themselves doing these things. And I love it. It says, Peter stood up. What the Holy Spirit can do when he empowers someone. You know, the same Peter who denied Jesus 3 times, he stood up boldly. Peter denied Jesus in front of a damsel. Can you imagine? Probably someone like Zoe. And he said, no, I don't know him, I don't. Why? Because he was afraid. But here in front of thousands of people, the same Peter, after receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, after being empowered, stood up to speak in front of thousands of people. Can you imagine that? Preaching the gospel, telling them the truth. And the Bible says that 3,000 people that day gave their life to Christ. Whoa, you talk about mass repentance. We love to see that these days. 3,000 people gave their life to Christ in one day. The same Peter who was so afraid, now you know what, is endowed with boldness, can stand and speak about his Lord in front of the people. Hallelujah. We need that power. We need it. Hallelujah. Amen. When you go through the book of Acts of Apostles, you can see what, you know, men did. Because of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit in them. And I'm telling you, you know, Jesus, while he was on earth, was limited to one place at a time. Because he was just a man. He couldn't operate, you know, in his omnipresence. So he was just, you know, one place at a time. But when Jesus left, after he sent the Holy Spirit, you know, in every single one of the believer who wants to receive it, it is a gift. Nobody, you know, we don't do anything to earn it. It is a gift. But if we are willing to receive him, he comes. And you know what? He empowers us. So now Jesus, through us, has given us the Holy Spirit, which means he is, you know, in you, in me. Just imagine all the believers across the world, what he is doing, you know, through those believers across the world. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there is nothing that we can do. And you know, while I was reading, I read Acts chapter 4, I think it's that Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John went to the temple, you know, at the gate called Beautiful, when the Lord used Peter, you know, to heal the man who has been lame, sitting there in front of that temple, and people are coming, going in, and he's just watching. I'm sure he wanted to go in, but he couldn't. You know, when God used them to heal this man, and that same day as well, I think 4,000 people gave their life to Christ. After they saw the miracle. After they saw the power of God in action. And I'm thinking, you know what? When God uses us to do signs and wonders, that the world will see the power of God moving.
people are going to come to Christ. Because people are tired of the things that are going on. People are tired. They want to see the power of God at work. People are tired of us saying, you know what, Jesus can heal. No, they want you to pray and then receive the healing. They want to see the power of God in action. When they see it, nobody needs to tell them, come to Christ. They come. And I believe that that's what happened in Acts of Apostles. The miracles that the Holy Spirit used, you know, the church used them to perform, attracted the people to Christ. Because they saw the power of God. And once they told them about Jesus, you know, their hearts were already open to receive him. I want him. Now, in this occasion, God used Peter to heal this man who was impotent. And the Jew, you know, those traditional Jews who didn't want to surrender their life to Christ, who were, you know, envious, and they didn't want to have anything to do with the Messiah. You know, they took Peter and John, and when they spoke to them, because they tried to stop them from preaching the gospel, like, we don't want you to talk about Jesus. Now, when they questioned them, how was this man healed? You know, Peter stood and spoke to them with boldness. He spoke to them, and the Bible says in verse 13, I'd like to read it. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, if we can go there, please. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. Can you imagine? Even this Sanhedrin and all these people, they marveled when they saw Peter and John speaking. They knew that these people, they are uncultured. These people, they are uneducated. They are unlearned. But they saw, you know, they heard the word that they were speaking. Okay, the soundness of what they were saying. Because for people who were not educated, they were not expecting them to be able to say what they were saying and reason that way. And the Bible says they marvel and they realize that they had been with Jesus. What the Holy Spirit can do in our life. What the Holy Spirit can do. You know, take ordinary fishermen and transform their life. Take people who are uneducated and give them the capacity to speak before people who are educated, and even the educated themselves, they listen and they say, wow. Because the Bible says that God takes, he takes the foolish things of the world in order to confound the wise. What the Lord can do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Believe me, we all need the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes when you speak to people, they think, oh, no, it's those who are in ministry, you know, those who are preachers, evangelists, apostles, and those are the one pastors, those are the one who need the Holy Spirit. No, we all need the Holy Spirit. Because we are all called into the service of God. You might not be a pastor, even just being a mom. You need the Holy Spirit. Because when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we talk about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's just the empowerment. God giving us the ability that we need in order to fulfill his assignment for our lives. And our assignments are different. Our assignments are different. Whatever your assignment is, you need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to be able to do it the right way. So this morning, the Lord is saying to us, are you thirsty? Because that's the condition that Jesus gave. He said, he that is thirsty, let him come and drink. Are we thirsty? Do we have that desire? You know, I know we've received, most of us have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you know what? Again and again, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Again and again. When we go through the book of Acts of Apostles, it tells us how the disciples themselves, they sat, they prayed, and he said the place where they were shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's not a one-off experience. It's ongoing. It's ongoing. So this morning, are you thirsty? Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Or do you even want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? If you have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, do you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I am telling you, it is an experience. We need him. We need him. We need the Holy Spirit. If he has been sent alongside to help you, you need him. You need him. And one of the things that I would like to mention as well, you know, the work of sanctification of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Because many believers struggle. We struggle with habits. We struggle with things that we've been entangling before we gave our life to Christ. And sometimes, in as much as we have the desire, you know, to abandon those things, but we struggle, we can't. But that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit helps us. Help us in order, you know what, to be able to be set free. To be set free from those habits. Because when the enemy has a hold, you know, in our life, what he does, he holds us back. Every time you try to move on, you know, you find yourself falling back into those things. And through them, you know, he can pull you down. That can become a weight on you and stopping you from moving forward. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us, you know, to help us become the people that God wants us to be. So even when you're struggling with a habit, you need the Holy Spirit. We all need the Holy Spirit. When it comes in our life, when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we receive the power. And now guess what? When you receive the power, if you can do things through the Holy Spirit out there because of his power that is in you, imagine what that power that is in you can accomplish in your own life. When you activate the power, he will cleanse you. He will give you the grace to be able to overcome. You know, some of those things, there are things that some of us, we do in the hidden, that if they expose them, we'll be so ashamed. The Holy Spirit can help us break those addictions. Help us to be set free. But we need to cooperate with him. You know what? We need to know him. He is a person. Jesus said, someone just like me. So someone just like Jesus. So he is a person. He is someone that, you know what? We need to develop that relationship with him. Holy Spirit, I love you. Communicate with him. I need you. Every day when we wake up, Holy Spirit, I need you. I can't go through this day without you. On my own, I know I'm going to struggle. But I know that with you, whatever I do today, I'll be successful. We need to know him. Know him. There is no way you can be in a relationship with someone without knowing them. We need to know him. What is it that he loves? What is it that he hates? How can we grieve him? Hallelujah. Amen. So if you're here this morning and you've not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and deep in your heart, you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'd like you to stand. You know what? We are a family. We are a family. And we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, it's not about an individual. It's about you. It's about you. It's about you. It's about your relationship with Jesus. So if you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and this morning you're thinking, I want it. You know what? We'll pray with you. David will pray with you. Jim will pray with you. Jean will pray with you. I will pray with you. There are a lot of people who can pray with you. You can just rise up and we will pray. And if you're here this morning, you say, you know what? I need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. I need to be filled, you know, with the Holy Spirit. Let all of us just rise up, because sometimes when you ask, you know, someone to do it, they might feel uncomfortable. So if we can all rise up and we are going to pray. And I just want us to begin to just thank the Lord. Thank him for the power of his Holy Spirit. Just thank him. Just thank him. Yes.
Jean can just put something that will be playing, you know, in the background. We're not singing. And we just thank God